Good morning, everybody. Morning, Gareth. Yeah, here. Okay. Gareth, good morning. Anyway, it's nice to you, Hurt. Anybody else want to say good morning to me? Oh, come on. I'm more friendly than that. Good morning. Ah, that's it. Audience participation. Here we go. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be. Even good morning to you, Martin. Okay. Bless you. Anyway, right. It's lovely to be here this morning, and I have the privilege of leading this morning's service. And for those that don't know me, I am Steve Bottrell. If you're visiting the church, it is lovely that you are here. I'm going to be part leading the band this morning, and we have a great service, we hope, for you of worship and listening to God's word. Matt's going to be coming to us a little bit later and sharing God's word on Romans 8, verses 1 to 17. So not that I'm asking you to read it in advance, but we are going to be focusing on that. But I don't think we've got anybody in the back hall, have we? Everyone's in here, so we won't say good morning to the back hall either then. This morning, it's a little bit quieter. It's because we're on holiday. There are holidays happening here. Obviously, people away, and we have some visitors here, which is lovely to see. But we do also have the likes of Dane Hill going on. I think the numbers was, there was 18 of our youth there. Was that the number, 18 we had? Well, yeah, 18, thank you. I'm glad somebody's is with me. 18. And also, we have, I think, four of our senior youth, if that makes sense, there as leaders there, which is just wonderful too. So before we start the service, let's just pray and just commit them to having an amazing time with Dane Hill, and that not only do we feel God here today, that Dane Hill also and all those people that can be here today just feels God's love wherever they may be. So Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we can be here this morning. Thank you that we have the privilege of being able to freely worship you this morning, where many others can't. Lord, we want to thank you that wherever your family is, you are there with them. It doesn't have to be in Biggersway, it doesn't have to be in our home, that you are there with us no matter where we are. So Lord, we ask you that the people at Dane Hill, all those people from our church and all the other churches, really have a special time as they continue this week. They've been there since Thursday, as you know, Lord, and Lord, they're going to be here there for another 4 or 5 days. Lord, just let them meet with you. Let your love be seen. Lord, we thank you for those leaders there also, making that a special time for all those that are attending. And Lord, for those people that can't be here today, Lord, we ask that you just be with them, if it's through health, or whether they're just having a holiday, a time of refreshment. Lord, we love you, but we also know that you love us so, so much more. And as we continue our service, Lord, we want to just share that love with you back and praise you for being such a wonderful Father to us. In your wonderful name, amen. We're going to start with a couple of songs. It's nice actually being the service leader because you can choose the songs. I'm not saying anything. Martin? But anyway, we can choose the songs, all right? So anyway, let's stand and let's worship him, okay? Yeah. a seat, everybody. So, we do have a little bit of a different kind of agenda, really, for the month of August, because we are all, I say, on holidays, etc. We've got a couple of notices. The first of all is linked to today, okay? There is a lunch, a fellowship picnic happening straight after this service. Jill, where are you? There you are. Jill, just please stand up, Jill. Okay, if you don't know who Jill is, that is Jill, okay. Jill is organising it. Now, it's a kind of bring and share type of picnic that you may have. Okay, so if you have not come prepared, you are excused to go home and get a few things, or maybe go down to the shop and buy a few things. Don't tell anybody. And if you want to come back, and we'll start here maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour after the service. The intention is just to have a nice, relaxed, kind of a picnic, sherry type of lunch with anybody that wants to, youngsters and oldies alike. Okay, if I can say oldies, yeah, there we go. So that's happening straight after this service. In addition, we do have, there is no kind of formal Sunday club youth program this month as such, but there is actually for the children, get this right, Ellen, won't I? The children, okay, which is up to year six. Ellen, I'm looking for you for confirmation. Yes, okay. There is happening out there for the under year six. There is a time straight at the time when we start. Martin is talking, okay? not connected with you talking. But anyway, we're going to be doing that, and we'll be singing a bit of a kids' song, and that'll be a time when the children may be wanting to leave there too. In addition, for those that are not regular or familiar or give to our normal church banking system through the bank, we do have a couple of collection boxes. We don't hand the collection boxes around. If you feel like you wish to give to the work of this ministry, feel free to do so. There's one over there. I think there's one also in the hall. But look, we're just delighted you're here. But if you wish to give, then that is also a wonderful thing too. Apart from that, does anybody have any more notices? Ali, you normally have a notice. Okay.
We had a lovely time in Cafe Mocha, met a few people from other churches, which was really lovely, and looking forward to doing the next one, hopefully in October or November, but definitely before Christmas.
Okay, and that'll be full of Christmassy things too, won't it? So making sure that you buy stuff for Christmas through Ali and Quench. Okay. Is that enough plug for you? Okay, good. Anybody, any other notices? Anybody? No? That was super easy. Fabulous. Okay, right. We're now going to sing a couple more songs. Now, I kind of, when I was preparing for this morning, I thought there's a song that we haven't sung for ages that I know that this group of people will happily just get right. So you're going to put the words up, Brad. Okay. You are holy. Okay. Who remembers this song? Okay. With enthusiasm there, Helen. Yes. Okay. Right. So for those that don't know this song, you'll soon get the hang of it. Okay. The males follow me. Okay. The females follow these two lovely ladies here. Okay. Okay. The males will in the, effectively will sing that is not in the brackets. Okay. So you are holy. And then Catherine and Hannah will sing you are holy. Okay. Possibly better than that. Okay. All right. So that's how it goes. It's a bit of a refrain, but the lads, it's into the solo. I need you to join me. Okay. All right, Gareth. All right, there you go. All right, let's stand and let's worship him. Okay.
You are holy.
You are holy.
Okay, and we're now going to sing a song that we've done a couple of times. It's a relatively new one, okay? And it's one that the band likes to play badly. So, no, good. Well, we love playing this one, so you like it. God So Loved. Amen. Please have a seat. Now, we don't normally sing that last line again, verse 4, but I kind of felt we should do because we're going to be hearing from Martin about no condemnation, whether it be our addictions, whether it be things that we do wrong. There is no condemnation. And that's what we're going to hear from Martin, which is going to be good. But what I'm looking for now is a volunteer. I'm looking for somebody maybe 8, 9, 10 who feels a little bit strong. A little bit strong. Anybody feeling a bit strong in that age group? Oh, wonderful. Mum's thinking, what's she going to do? It's okay, you're not going to be embarrassed. What's your name, sorry?
Emily.
Hiya, Emily. Are you feeling strong today?
Yeah.
You're good, excellent, excellent. Well, oh, we've gotten two there. Well, actually, you are, I don't know, is this microphone going to be working for us today?
One, two.
Oh, excellent. You can be Mr. Microphone Man, okay? Okay, just hold on there. So, you're feeling very strong.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the thing is that sometimes when I go away on a bit of a holiday, okay, you know, you go backpacking, don't you? So, you know, you need to have, first of all, your summer hat. I heard that over there. Excuse me, it's my summer hat.
Surprised you kept the hat so loud.
Oh, there you are. Obviously, you need to have your water bottle ready, etc. But you need to have your backpack full of things to have, don't you, really? So, can you wear my backpack for me? Okay, so fantastic. Okay, that's it. Excellent. Now, the trouble is that sometimes it's a bit... Can I just do that and then that won't fall off, okay? All right, wonderful. Superb. Right, Emily, you're feeling very strong. Good. Now, what are you, my friend? What's your name?
Joshua.
Joshua. Already the DJ with the microphone there, are you? DJ Josh. Waka waka. Anyway, DJ Josh. All right, so DJ Josh, you've got a job. I'm going to ask a question of youngsters and oldies.
Yeah.
Okay, they're not so young, we'll say that, be polite. I'm going to ask them a question, and you're going to save my legs by running around and getting them to speak into the microphone. Are you okay, DJ Josh?
Yes.
Fabulous. All right, so the question is this. When we do things wrong, what do we kind of get a bit... feeling a bit down with sometimes? So what do we do in our day-to-day lives that sometimes we get a little bit upset about, that we kind of think, I shouldn't have done that? Hands up, anybody. Give me some examples. One, DJ Josh, go for it.
Eating too much cake.
Okay, a quick straw poll. Can you ever have too much cake? No? Okay. But okay, if you feel like, so come on up, sir. All right, I want you, come. I want you to put that in the back of the bag for me. Okay, thank you. All right, sit down, my friend. All right, anybody else? Good, bad over there, Josh, go for it.
Forgetting to put the dishwasher on.
Hang on, I need to ask the question. Hannah, how often does this happen? Always, all right. All right, Josh. As Brad's a bit lazy, you can put that in for him. Thank you. All right, put that in. Hannah over there. Let's see what Steve does wrong. Go on.
Just to clarify, this isn't about Steve.
Oh.
Just maybe not being 100% truthful about things?
Not being 100% truthful. Knowing Steve as I do, that would never be you, lad. Okay. So, Josh, go on, put another one in there. How are we feeling, Emily? Are you feeling okay?
Yeah.
Okay? You're not feeling a bit kind of...
No.
Okay. Right, anybody else? Come on, we've got another 7 bricks to go for. Oh, go on here.
Missing your bus ride.
That doesn't happen, does it?
No.
No? Sometimes. Do you want to put a brick in for me? Okay, excellent. Some more examples, please. Helen, this will be good.
Being jealous of other people.
Being jealous of other people. All right, can I put another one in for him? Okay, obviously Martin's got one because he's talking, so, I don't know, you tell me, Pastor, please.
Being rude to your minister.
Okay. Okay. Hang on, I'll do this one. In fact, actually, just in this one's in advance. Okay, right. Right. Excellent. Oh, there's one there. Coffee.
Forgetting jobs.
What was that, sorry?
Forgetting jobs.
Forgetting jobs. That never happens, does it? Oh, forgetting jobs. Can you put another one in, DJ? Okay. So, oh, Jill's got one. This will be good. Have you asked Peter whether this is valid?
I think Peter will know that it's valid, but I do get quite cross and impatient with people sometimes if they don't do things the way I want them to.
Okay, hang on.
I'm sure that's not just me. But.
So Jill said she sometimes gets cross and impatient with people. Hang on. Pass the microphone to Peter. Peter, would you like to comment? I'll plead the fifth.
It's new to me.
New to me. Okay. I just had to say chicken. There you are. Right, put one in again. Have we opened one? Okay, right, one last one. I kind of feel there's no one in the back. There's Gordon, which is always good for a shout. Go for Gordon, then there's this young lady here. Okay.
Going over the speed limit.
Oh, hang on. Do we need to pray for you now? Okay. Sorry, God still loves you. It's okay. Right, excellent. We'll put that last one in, DJ. Pardon?
I said let he use that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Gordon, this will be good. Don't let me down now, Gordon.
Being absent from church and getting lumbered by Steve to do the reading when you turn up occasionally.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you very much. Gordon hasn't been here for a little while. I thought he could do the reading just so you could all see who he was. Anyway, an in-joke, don't worry. All right. So, excellent. Thank you very much. A round of applause for DJ Josh. Thank you, my friend. Let's sit down, okay? No, don't take it off, okay? How we're feeling now? Is it a bit heavier?
No.
It's not?
It's pretty easy.
Okay, you're supposed to say yes, it is.
Is it?
Okay. Okay. Hang on. Is it heavier at all now?
No.
Now is it heavier at all now?
No.
No.
It's
falling off. It's falling off. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Round of applause for Emily. You want to crack? Yeah. Do you want me to help you?
Yes, please.
Okay. Excellent. The thing is that thank you very much. Okay. Oh, by the way, Emily. Come here. Yeah. Where's DJ Josh gone? Okay. Oh, go on, my friend, there you are. Woohoo! Right, so, the thing is that we often put things on ourselves. The things that we feel like we've maybe lied, or we think we're not worthy. We just sung about addictions, and that's not about necessarily just about drugs. It could be about money, it could be about things we do, idols we focus on. The thing is, our God loves us so much that he says, you know what, all that, just put at the foot of the cross. He says, take the bag off. Take all that extra weight off you. You don't need it. You don't need it any longer. That's what I died for. But he says that because he wants us to have a relationship with him. And that's what we're going to hear a little bit more about when Martin comes to us today. So anyway, a round of applause for the two volunteers. Well done. So, with that in mind, we're gonna sing a song, God's Love is Bigger Than a Burger. Because he didn't do it because he felt he had to. He didn't send Christ down, Jesus, to die because he felt he had to. He did it because he loved us. He loved us. It was always his plan for that to happen, a plan that he had to make because of what happened right at the beginning. But God loves us so much, that's actually bigger than anything, even a burger. So, for those that are of the youthful nature, who knows the actions, feel free to do them as we do. We're all gonna stand up if you're able. And we're gonna sing this song. At the end of this song, the children will be exiting stage left, okay? Let's stand. Did I say sit down? First, we've got another song to go, but the youth, children are going, I almost said youth, Ellen, the children are going out. So as they all go out, think of some one of them as they go out, just pray for them in your mind. What a wonderful time they're going to have. Learn a bit more about God and have fun with the crew too. Also pray for the teachers too. Okay, we're going to sing another song. Father of Creation. Yes, Lord, we want to see your face. Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want you to use us the best way that you want us to be, that you made us, whatever that may be. In your wonderful name, amen. We're going to ask Gordon to come out now. Gordon's going to read from Romans 8, verses 1 to 17. So buckle up.
And in the Bible version that I've got, it's page 1134, and it's entitled Life Through the Spirit. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit gives life, has set you free, free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give your life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, you will put to death the misdeeds of your body, and you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit lives himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
Thank you, Gordon. Morning, everyone. I'd just like to say how lovely it is to have Steve back leading worship. I'd like to say it, but... That was good. Thank you for the songs that you chose this morning, Steve. That's been really helpful. And just for clarity, I get to choose the last song in every service. So I don't know why he was looking at me earlier on for that one either, but there we go. One notice that I should have given earlier on, probably, because it hasn't made it to the bulletin. This happens every year. It's my fault. I never get round to doing it in time. But I'm going to be on annual leave from next Saturday through to the 3rd of September. So if you have anything that you need to talk to anyone about or need to speak to anyone about, you need to talk to one of the elders. We've got one of them here today, but that's okay because I'm still here today. But Cliff, Gareth or Mike will be around hopefully to pick up anything that needs to be picked up, or one of your deacons or your home group leader, anybody like that. But please do pray for Ali and for me as we go away on holiday at various moments during that time. It would be nice to get a bit of a rest. And I never thought I'd say this about a holiday that I go on. It'd be really nice to have some rain as well. But, no? Not on the August bank holiday weekend. No, that's fine. Okay, I'm really glad Steve did what he did with the children's slot earlier on, because that really helps for the start of this message. And Itai, just thank you so much for what you said about what you do wrong, which was driving too fast. None of the rest of us have ever done that. But it just links really nicely, because if you're out, if you're a person who drives and you're out, how do you react when you see one of those? Put your hand up if you slow down. Put your hand up if it's coming behind you, think, oh no, am I going too fast? And if there's one just in front of you, it's amazing how slowly everybody then overtakes the police car. I reckon they drive along at 69 and a half miles an hour just to wind us up, to get that. But there's something about the sight of a police car, isn't there? That the visual representation of the law that makes us feel instinctively that we're doing something wrong, and therefore we need to compensate for it in some way or another. And it's the same with people in authority over us, isn't it? Parents, teachers, head teachers, elders, maybe even pastors. And this pastor's just dropped his drink on the floor. Great. Again, yes, I didn't even touch it. Who said again? Did it last week? Oh dear, it looks like I wet myself now. Thanks, Steve. It's nice and cool, though. Problem is, it's orange squash that's going to be sticky. Anyway, yes, people in authority over us, if they ask to see us, and I have experienced this from both sides, if they ask to see us, our first reaction is, have I done something wrong? We used to have a saying at Bible College that resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the deacons, they will fly at you. And you kind of thought if a deacon came towards you, you must have done something wrong that they wanted to give you a telling off about. But it's just figures in authority. Thank you, Steve. You're such an angel. We're so blessed to have you. Thank you.
Carry on.
Oh, that's strong. You know, that's four times normal strength, don't you? Anyway, there's something about an authority figure, particularly if it's wearing a police uniform, that makes us feel guilty. And Paul makes it clear in Romans that the law is there to make us aware of our sinfulness. The law is there to reveal and punish wrongdoing. And it's there to punish or try and prevent it happening by making clear what would happen if we do something wrong. If you're driving too fast and Mr. Plod comes along in his car and pulls you over, you will probably get a speeding ticket. How many have you got, Ty? Don't worry. Or you might be invited to go on a speed awareness course. Yes, I've done a few of those. Yeah. Most of them for doing. Don't put it so close to the edge. That's better. Shall I just start this again? Oh dear, I need a holiday, that's for sure. So the law, yes, the law makes us instinctively feel like we've done something wrong. It's there to point out what we've done wrong, how we failed. Like Steve was asking in those questions, what sort of things have we done that we wish we hadn't, or that we'd failed, or that we're sorry we'd done? And the law builds up this weight in us. The Bible calls it the weight of sin. And this sin weighs us down, and it bows us down, and it cripples us, and it holds us back. from our relationship with God. Which is ironic, really, because the law was given to God's people in the first place to enable them to live in a distinctive way and reveal the light of God's love to the Gentiles. But the way it was interpreted by the people caused exactly the opposite to happen and put the people of Israel in layers of legislation, legislative chains, with laws being added to prevent the original laws being broken. So if you think about it, you've got the original law, then you've got a law about the original law, then you've got a law about the law about the original law, and a law about the law about the law about the original law. And you can already think, oh my goodness, what's going on here? And it just bound people up in chains. Freedom is taken away until all they were aware of is that weight of the burden of keeping the law. Today we might express this as, if I don't do good, God won't love me. Or the more I keep the law, the more God will love me. Or if I follow these rituals at a certain time of the day, facing in a certain direction, then God will love me. But that's not freedom. That's captivity. And all through this year so far, we've been considering the implication of Jesus' words in John 8:32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And here in Romans 8, we have one of the greatest implications of that verse. This is a real practical application of what it means to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And it's worth reading it again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Truth is that the law and obeying the law, working hard to keep the law, can never bring us into a full relationship with God. Because the law is weakened by the flesh, and the law is infected with the very sin that it makes us aware of. And nothing I can do in my own strength can get me to that point. No matter how many laws I obey, there will always be something where I fall short. And for me, like a tyee, it's normally driving too fast. For you, it might be something else, but there's always something that we do. Maybe it's that manipulating the truth a little bit, telling a lie to get us out of trouble, whatever it is, we all have something that we do. And anyone under the law is a captive, is a prisoner. But freedom comes through Christ, who was and is without sin, yet who took on our sin and the requirements of the law in our place so we could be put right with God. When the judge passes his sentence on my sins, it's not me who bears that sentence, it's Jesus who bears it for me. To coin a phrase, it's not about what you do, it's about who you know. Knowing Jesus brings freedom. It's really that simple. And it's a freedom that means we don't need to fear condemnation or punishment because Jesus has borne these for us. It's a freedom that brings us security. It brings us peace. It brings us hope. It's a freedom that takes away the fear of death because Jesus promises that all who follow him shall rise again as he did and enter into the fullness of life that he came to bring us. I was privileged to lead a funeral this week of an old friend of ours from our previous church. And we were thinking about the fact that in Jesus, death is not the end of us. We don't mourn as those who have no faith mourn. We do mourn because we've lost someone we love, obviously, but it's tinged with hope because we know that promise of Jesus, which is true, is that those who die in faith in Christ will rise again with Christ on the last day when Jesus comes back to make all things right. And then we will reign with him forever. Hallelujah. It's a freedom that allows us to call ourselves God's children. Verses 16 and 17 of this passage. If we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Don't know if you've thought about what this actually means. First of all, it's wonderful that through our faith in Jesus, we are adopted as God's sons and daughters. We are declared his children. An adoption is actually a good thing. For some reason, there's stigma about it in society, but anyone who has adopted will tell you it involves them choosing to love someone else who isn't their natural child. And that child has been chosen to be loved by those people. That's an amazing thing. And we've seen it with Peter and Jill, but also we're seeing it now with our daughter and son-in-law and our new grandson. Just the love that they have chosen to give to this child. And in the Roman Empire, adoption was a really good thing because somebody rich and famous could adopt you as their son. For example, Julius Caesar adopted somebody called Octavian to be his son. And when Julius Caesar died, Octavian inherited everything that Julius Caesar had, which enabled him to go on and become the first Roman emperor, Augustus. And adoption conveys a status and a standing on you that you may not have had before. And through Christ, we are adopted as God's sons and daughters. So if you're a Christian this morning, God looks at you and says, "That's my son. That's my daughter." And if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. What does Christ stand to inherit? What is Christ receiving because of his obedience to God and his faith and his act of loving sacrifice? All the riches and all the glory of heaven. And we get to share that with him because we are adopted as God's sons and daughters. This is true freedom. This is true hope. And it's a freedom and a hope expressed through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul here says, if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you belong to Christ. If you don't, you don't. So first thing I want to say this morning is if you find yourself weighed down by guilt or fear or regret or any of those other bad things that we've thought about, give them to Jesus. You know, this was such a great illustration. That is actually quite heavy.
She did well.
She did well, didn't she? Yeah. I mean, and literally, Steve said, put it at the foot of the cross. Imagine this is all your fears, your regrets, your anxieties, and you come to Jesus, and you do that. Oops. And Jesus says, leave it, I'll sort it out. You don't have to carry it anymore. And it might be something from your childhood. Might be something from a relationship. Might be something from work. If it's weighing you down, there is freedom from it when you know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you are weighed down, if you are struggling, to do what I've just done, to empty that stuff at Jesus' feet and say, thank you, Jesus, that you have dealt with this so that I can be free. And by faith, we can receive that freedom. Come and get prayer afterwards. Turn to the person next to you. Get prayer before you go home. Whatever you do, doesn't matter. Just give it to Jesus and let him deal with it. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Anyone remember that great old song, Jesus, We Celebrate Your Victory? Yeah, what a rocker, what a banger that was. Slightly dodgy theology in it, but most of it was all right. There's a bit about in his presence all our problems disappear. Well, they don't quite disappear, but we have the strength to deal with them. And Jesus will take them from us and allow us to walk in freedom. And notice in these verses as well, the present tense. It's not it was for freedom that Christ set us free. It is for freedom. It's for freedom today, right now. And it's for freedom going forwards. And then there's the warning not to fall back into our old ways, isn't there, as well? Don't stand firm and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. How many times have we given something to Jesus in one breath and then picked it back up in the next? Because we still think we've got to do something to earn his forgiveness and his grace and his acceptance. It's a bit like the illustration I've used before, of the prison door. Jesus, through his death and resurrection, opens the door to our prison cell. But we still have to walk through it to realise that freedom. And for us, the walking through the door is bowing the knee and saying, yes, Jesus, I believe, I give my life to you, I want to follow you. I want to stand firm, I want to live in this freedom that you promise me. The cell door is open through the cross and resurrection, but we have to walk through it to appropriate it. Many of us, for some reason, sometimes walk back in and shut the door and allow our fears and our failings and everything else to get the better of us. But Jesus died so we could walk out of that prison door and live in freedom. Second part of our passage is all about putting this truth into practice. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, because through Christ, the spirit of the law of life in Christ has set us free. It has overwritten the original law. So as a Christian, if you see the police car coming up in your rearview mirror, you don't need to be afraid anymore. Not because your car's faster than theirs, kind of thing, but because you know that you have the grace of God. And hopefully one of the things, and I'm still working on this, about having the grace of God means you actually keep to the speed limit. And that's hard, isn't it? It's hard, isn't it? Bet you're wishing you never admitted that now. It is hard. But doing the stuff that God wants us to do, it always is hard. Because it's so much easier to do what we want to do. I want to drive my car fast. God says keep the speed limit. Hard. I want to binge on that big bag of Maltesers. God said don't be a glutton. We all struggle with things that we know we shouldn't do. And that God says we have actually got the freedom to overcome those things. But there's, again, we have to walk through the cell door. We have to believe it. And we have to allow God to work through us in it as well. From verse 12, it says this, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live by the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. And the obligation is, having received the freedom from condemnation that Christ gives us, we live it out in a way that shows others we're not under the law, but under the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Gone too far with that one. Let's go to there. No, let's go back to there. Now, this might be a slightly controversial comment, but did you watch the news when prisoners were released from jail early about 6 months ago, whenever it was. So they had their sentence reduced and they were let out because apparently we haven't got enough room. So letting out criminals to make room for more criminals is obviously a sensible government policy. But did you see how they reacted when they came out? They were popping champagne, they were dancing, they were celebrating, they were rejoicing in their freedom. At least for a few minutes. When was the last time, Christian, that you rejoiced in your freedom in Christ? See, 20 or 30 years ago, people celebrated their relationship with Christ by looking as miserable as they possibly could, by being as serious as they possibly could, by being as stern as they possibly could, which, guess what, led to legalism. And you're back under the law. You've gone back into the prison cell. Now, I'm not saying we've got it right, but I think we've got it better than then. Because, you know, if you're free, it's nice to let your face know, isn't it? It's nice to let other people know, and it's nice to celebrate. Gosh, I remember the end of summer term at school. That really was freedom, wasn't it? You'd run out of school at the end of the day going, yeah! And that's just the staff. The freedom we have in Christ means we can celebrate every day. That's what we do on Sunday. We're here celebrating the freedom we have in Christ, singing our songs, praying our prayers, listening to the message, trying to work out how to live that life of freedom through the week. Because it's not just about Sunday. Sunday's kind of like the I've just been let out of prison free moment where they all sort of did that. But the rest of the week then is how do I apply that in my everyday life? How do I live my life demonstrating my freedom in Christ, in my place of work, in my club, when I go shopping, all that sort of stuff? I think it means that we can show others the difference that Christ makes in our lives. So we come back to letting our face know that we're free. People tend to warm to you much more if you look happy and smiley than if you look stern and forbidding. Ali will roll her eyes at this, but there was a lady that she used to teach with who made it known that she was a Christian, and everybody just wanted to avoid her because she was so negative and so judgmental of people. So it took a while for Ali to persuade people at work that you could be a Christian without being those sorts of things. Who would you rather spend time with? The person who's being critical and judgmental and negative, or the person who is positive and expressing their freedom? There's a reason people flocked to Jesus when he came to an area to teach. So our calling, having been set free by the death and resurrection of Jesus, is to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, to be open to the Holy Spirit changing us and teaching us and growing us more into the likeness of Christ. He truly is the power source of the Christian life, and he is the one who reminds us of our freedom. So look for ways to live and react that are positive and point people to Jesus. Maybe when everyone else is going, oh, this is too difficult, this is too big a problem, think about, is there an opportunity here? How can we turn this to something positive? How can we encourage people in their lives? Seek to be loving, kind, and forgiving. Refuse to compromise the truth. Choose to point others to the Saviour. Now, again, this is not easy to do because it goes against our nature, which is why we need the Holy Spirit at work in us to enable us to do these things. To remind us that we can live this way because of what Jesus has done for us. to live this way out of gratitude for what he has done in the freedom we've been given. One word of caution. This freedom from condemnation does not mean we can do what we like and simply expect God to forgive us. That's called cheap grace. Naturally, Paul writes about that in Romans chapter 7, I think it is, or 6. Talking about where grace abounds, does that mean I can just sin all the more because there's going to be more grace for me? No. Paul says, by no means. No way, Jose. You're joking, aren't you? Don't abuse the grace of God. Don't belittle the sacrifice Jesus made for us. Our freedom is to live in line with God's word, under the guidance of the Spirit, growing into the likeness of Jesus, who lived the freest life of them all. And when we live by this, like this, we'll be assured of his presence, his joy, his love, and his favour. Others will notice and will be drawn to us because we are positively different. They'll be drawn to Jesus because of us. And that in turn brings joy to his heart and into our lives. Question time. Do we believe we are no longer under condemnation if we belong to Jesus? And if we do, does our face know that? And does the way we live our life know that? Are there things we need to hand over to Jesus today that have been slowing us down or even pulling us back into our prison cell? Have we even made it out of the door? Or do we still need to put our faith and trust in Jesus and what he's done for us? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Even when we get things wrong, we can find forgiveness when we confess. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We've been looking at that verse and its application all year so far. This is probably the last Sunday we will look at it. So hopefully over this year we've experienced something of what it means to be free, and that we can put that into practice. And again today, if there's something weighing you down, if there's something causing you to stumble, causing you trouble, take it to Jesus. Walk through the cell door and receive the freedom that he offers through your faith in him. I'm going to be quiet for a moment, reflect on that. I'm going to pray and invite the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives. And when he does, let's respond in faith and trust and go deeper into that freedom. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. You are our guide. You are our source of power. You are the driver of our freedom. Please put your finger on anything today that has been weighing us down, that's been holding us back, that's been robbing us of our freedom. Please help us to give it to Jesus and to leave it with Jesus, because he has died for it and he has risen to show that it has been defeated. We long to live in the full freedom that comes from knowing you, Lord Jesus. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you minister amongst us? Change lives this morning. Amen. We're going to close with what I believe is one of the greatest hymns ever written. It's a hymn that sums up all that we've been thinking about this morning, and it's one that encourages us
to celebrate that freedom that we have in Jesus. And again, just to say, the prayer team will be here. There's people around you who can pray with you if you want to turn to someone and ask them that. Or if they can't, they'll point you to somebody else. Just even if you just want to get a bit closer to God today, doesn't have to be a major crisis going on in your life. Just come closer to Him today and celebrate your freedom. If you're able to stand, please do. No condemnation means we can approach the throne of God boldly, freely, whenever we want. So let's not be shy in coming forward. Let's bring those things to God that we know only He can deal with. And as we go from this place, whether it's for a few minutes to get some sandwiches and come back, or whatever it is that we're doing today, may we go walking in the freedom and the joy and the love of Jesus. And may we spread the freedom and the joy and the love of Jesus wherever we go this week. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.